All right, why don't you turn over to John? John, Hebrews, and Ephesians, and the Psalms, these are all big, big, big doorways into the right hand of the Father. It's like, I know some of you are looking at me like, what's he talking about, right hand of the Father? Well, you kind of had to been here the last 2 or 3 months, but we'll show you some things tonight. I'm going to take another pass through here. And it's necessary that you understand this word, not just read it. I know we like to put our 5 minutes of reading time in, you know, but to access the deeper places in God, it's necessary you understand what you're reading. So the Holy Spirit can take that revelation and forge a door within you so you can access what this book says you can access. Amen? And so the revelation is the door. So thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Did you bring that deal on her? I'll do that Sunday. I saw a vision today. I'll do it Sunday. This would be really cool to do on Sunday. I'm going to use Pastor Chuck as our sacrifice. That's a good word. On Sunday. So don't miss Sunday, amen? It's real quiet in here. I like it like this. I'm about half caught up. I'm going to start with a juicy part of this. It could be. Just know that you might stumble. And we're not going to help. You want to be here for that. You're going to have to make your way, brother. Amen. John 17. Oh, caught up in that thick piece. I tell you, when you caught up with him, you're thinking, Lord, this world is so contrary to your nature. It's so glorious with him. I said, it's so peaceful and harmonious with you. The deep resonating peace that overwhelms and overcomes you is so contrary to the world, because you'll see the difference when you're in there and you come back out. The world's so full of anxiety and confusion and driven, and it's noisy. It's so busy. His kingdom is so contrary to that. It's fantastic. Okay, go to John 17. You're John 17. I'm in slow motion, so I'm just going to start at the end of my notes tonight and work my way backwards. That way I'll be sure to finish, because I'm starting at the finish line. Because I'm not going very fast right now, so I'll just start at the end. That way I know I'm going to be done. Amen? I've been drinking. I remember one time, who was that came? I was so gone in the spirit one Sunday morning, and somebody came and looked at me. Oh, it sure was. It was a friend of ours, and his husband came, and he hadn't been to church in a while, and she looked at him. She goes, that man is drunk. On Sunday morning, she goes, I'm telling you, I know a drunk man when I see him, and that man's been drinking. And to this day, he won't come back. Well, he's kind of half true. I was on the new wine, you know. John 17. Hallelujah. These are not drunk, as you suppose. They're just very, very filled with the Holy Ghost. You know, you can get very, very filled. Everyone say very, very filled. Very, very filled is when it overflows. When you're walking around Academy looking at fishing lures and caught up, I'm thinking, I don't want to go fishing today. I'm with him, you know. Jesus. John 17, y'all there yet? I'm waiting on y'all. I'm in a mode. I'm trying. Amen. I can't wait for the days. It should be unto you according to his word, glory falls, and you don't have anything else to do that night, you know. If I get this chapter in you, it'd be enough. My plan was to take you all the way back, you know. You're so good, but I might have to kick in another mode if that happens, you know. All right. I could pray for you all and be in the same place I'm in. Then we could all just oil. Father, would you just give them some of them right now? Just release that oil in here, Father. That deep oil. Release your kingdom over them. Let all the cares and distractions and worries be lifted from them. Transport them. Translate them. Lift them. Set them. Sit them with you. Amen. Booyah. Okay. These words spake Jesus when he lifted up his eyes to heaven. Whenever the Lord starts lifting up his eyes to heaven, just know his spirit's already gone. He's already there. That's all he has to do is look up. He's real good at being with his Father. And said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify thy Son. Thy Son also may glorify thee. And he's talking about is bring me back to the place I had with you before. He says, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal. They may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I finished the work that thou gave me to do. You have to understand what's going on here in this prayer. His spirit is already moving up in front of where he's at. In fact, he starts praying for the disciples in this chapter, and he moves them from being in the room to being not of the world. All in one prayer, because his spirit is moving up into his future. He knows he's about to go through the cross. And he's already accepted. He said, I finished the work. He hasn't even done it yet. He hasn't even gone to the cross, but he's saying, I finished it. He sees himself reinstated with his Father. You understand what he's doing there. He says, his spirit was so longing to be back. He only left the Father because of you. Believe me, 33 years of leaving the Father even to come to the earth was not a cakewalk. He'd been with him for all eternity, and all he longed for is to go back there. But he had a mission. This time was to get you where he was. This time he came down to get you, not just to save you, so you could live out your life here and then be with him. You know, he came to get you, to bring you where he was. And he was making intercession. He wanted to be back with the Father. This is really powerful. He's praying all of this. This is his last words he spoke on the earth to his 11 disciples. And boy, they are loaded. Both guns loaded. Now watch this, verse 5. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with a glory that I had with thee before the world was. You know what he's asking there? Because bring me back into the right hand, the glory you gave me to sit with you. He told his disciples, he said, it's expedient for you really that I go away because the Father's greater than I. And I'm like, he goes, if you knew where I was going, you would rejoice. He goes, because I go to the Father and the Father's greater than I. And I'm thinking, well, why would that make me happy? I want you to see this. Where is that? Go to 14:27. John, we'll be in John tonight. We probably won't move too far away from John. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. He's got some peace, my friends. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled. Well, the reason he told them that, because he just got through telling them he's going to go away. And they're going, wait a minute, we're just getting started. And he says, don't be troubled. You have heard how I have said unto you, I go away. He says that about 10 to 15 times in this book. He tells them, I go to the Father. 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 He says a lot. He's ready to go. He's ready to get back, reinstated with the Father. He said, you've heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again. If you love me, you would rejoice. If you love me, you would rejoice for me because I'm out of here. But I couldn't get this. He says, because you love me, you would rejoice. Verse 28, because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. I'm like, well, why would I rejoice at that? Imagine if the Lord came here and you were one of his disciples and you got to walk with him every day and see his glory, experience his glory, the lame, the maimed, the blind, the deaf, and see broken humanity healed every day and salvation and just pour it out all the time. And all of a sudden, party's over. I go away. How'd that make you feel? He says, I got to go away now. And, you know, their heart is going, what? What? How could you leave us here? You're going to leave us with Peter? He said, I'm not going to leave you comfort. I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. But that didn't mean anything to them. They didn't know what that was. And he says, if you really, and that's the part I didn't get. He said, if really you would rejoice because I go away, I'm going to the Father, and he's greater than I am. I'm like, okay, that's even greater. I'm really happy that you're going away to someone greater than you. Well, what about me? You know what he's saying? He said, if you think being with me something, he goes, you just wait till I come back and get you. And I'm not talking about when your life's here over on the earth. Wait till I come back because I'm going to instate you with the one that I love. If you think I'm good to live with, wait till I put you with him because that's why I'm going away, so that I can put you in there with him. I'm like, oh, they didn't get it. They wrestled all through that chapter. They didn't get what he was saying. It's real hard because, my God, well, we've been at this, what, 2,000 years, since more than 2,000 years, and we still don't get it. So you can imagine if they didn't pick it up in 15 minutes, you know. So he's making this intercession. He's telling them, I go away. Go to John 16:5. I'm kind of dropping in wherever I drop in. Whatever I look at, and I look, oh, that looks good. I'll just. But now I go my way to him that sent me. And none of you ask me, whither goest thou? Because I've said these things unto you. Sorrow has filled your heart. John 16:16. A little while, you shall not see me. And again, in a little while, you will see me. Because I go to the Father. I'm going. He's going to come back and get him. Then said some of the disciples among themselves, what is this that he saith unto us? There's only 11 people hearing this. This is what he chose to leave with the disciples. What is this he's saying? A little while, you shall not see me. And again, a little while, you shall see me. They're not the only ones that struggle with that. He told the unbelieving Jews that wanted to kill him in chapter 7, he told them the same thing, except he told them, he goes, where I go, you can't come. At least he told them, I'll come back and get you. He told in John 14, he goes, I'm going away, but I'll come back and get you. But the ones who kill him, he goes, where I'm going, you can't come. He goes, I ain't come back for you. You can't come. You know you're in trouble if he tells you that. Y'all want to see that? Go to John. I'm shotgunning tonight. I look at something, I drop in, and that's just the way it's got to be. John 7. I wanted to 7. I was supposed to go 17, but didn't make it over. John 17, verse 33. I mean, 7. John 7, 7. 7, 7. 33, 7. John 7, 33. Father, you're going to have to help me. Then said Jesus unto them, now, you read that chapter, they wanted to kill him. Just keep this in context. They didn't like him at all. They hated him. And they'd made that known to him. That wasn't the kind of hatred that was behind the scenes. They just flat out told him. He said, yet a little while I'm with you, and then I go unto him that sent me. You know how many times he says this in this book? He says, you shall seek me, but you won't find me. And where I am, thither you cannot come. Ouch. Now compare that. Put your finger there and go over to 14, John 13, 13:36. Now he's telling this him in the upper room. He's got his 11 in the upper room. All this he said after Judas Iscariot got the boot, or he went out. That's when he chose the time to say all this. John 13:36. And he tells those Jews that want to kill him, he says, whither I go, you cannot come. Now they struggled with that hard. They said, what does that mean? We can't come. Who's this guy telling us where he goes, I can't come? He tells the disciples the same thing, but he tells them they can come. Amen. I sure like to know where he's going so I know where I can go to. It's nice to know, have a roadmap. Because you'll find out when Chuck walks around here without one Sunday morning, he's liable to run into a wall. Because he won't be allowed to be able to see in the natural eyes. But he's going to have to find something in this room without seeing. Poor Chuck. Bring some knee pads, brother. Simon Peter said to him, 13:36, said, Lord, where are you going? Where goest thou, Lord? Where are you going? Jesus answered, where I go, you cannot follow me right now. Wow. Simon didn't want to hear that. He goes, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. At least he didn't say, you can't follow me now, and you won't follow me afterwards either. There's a reason why he couldn't follow him the first go round. Only one man was going to be able to take that trip. A God man. And he's going to bear the weight of the sin of the world, and he is going to go for you. It's what he came here for, is to reinstate you into the garden and put you right back smack in the presence of the Father, in the right hand of the Father, the most miraculous work ever done in the history of humanity. He goes, where I'm going, I'm going to have to do this alone, Peter. Peter said, why can't I follow thee now? Aren't we like that with the Lord? Why can't I do it now, Lord? I will lay down my life. Here's this human sufficiency for you here. I will lay down my life for you, Lord. Got to kind of watch telling God that. Look at verse 38. Jesus said, will thou lay down thy life for my sake? Truly, verily, verily, I say, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me 3 times this night. He goes, you won't make it 24 hours down this road, not even 12. You're not going to make it because you can't go where I'm going this time. You're going to follow me afterward. You know what he's saying here? I'm about to go into the belly of the earth to bear the sin of humanity, and you cannot go with me. I'm the only one designed for this sacrifice, and you're all going to scatter. I'm going to go at it alone, but my Father will be with me until he forsakes me. He turns his back on me. And Isaiah said his visage was marred more than any man, and his form the sons of men. On the law of sin and death, when the Father turned his back on him, the law of sin and death had corrupted the entire known world, corrupted the entire earth, came and hit one man, caused him to contort to a hideous mess on a cross. You couldn't even know the man was, his visage was marred more than any man, and his sons, has formed the sons of men. You've seen the movie, The Passion. That was nothing when the law of sin and death hit him. And he became an offering for you. John 14:1 said, "Let not your heart be troubled, though. Don't be troubled. You believe in God, you believe in me also. In my Father's house, there's many dwelling places." My Father's kingdom, my Father's government, my Father's heaven, the right hand of the Father, there's many dwelling places. I'm going to go prepare one for you. I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again. Isn't this awesome? I'm going to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. He said that in chapter 12. He said it again in chapter 17. Where I am, there you may be also. When he said, John 15, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you could ask what you will and it would be done. What do you think you were supposed to abide at? Where he was. You make that journey to where he is and you learn to abide and remain permanently fixed under the shadow of the Almighty. Once you learn to become permanently fixed in him, you're going to start bearing the fruit of that place. The fruit of that place is going to start pouring into the earth. It's going to start pouring into this city. And then God's going to pull them out of the hospitals and draw them in, because he'll have something now that he can feed humanity with. Hallelujah. Verse 4, where I go, you know, and the way, you know. Thomas said, "Lord, we don't know where you're going." Well, Thomas didn't get much of the Lord, but he ended good. You know, he brought a revival to India. He doubted the Lord most of the time, but God got a hold of him. He found his way and brought a massive revival. He said, "We know not whither you go. How can we know the way?" Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Just so you know where he's going, no man will come to the Father except to me. You need to get salvation out of your mind here, because yes, salvation is a part of it. It's not, you're not going to go to the Father after you die. Of course you're going to go, but he's talking about now. We're going to go now. But to those Jews that wanted to kill him, he said, "Where I'm going, you can't go, because you don't believe in me. You've rejected me. You're not going to be able to come to where I am." Tells them again in chapter 8. They have a big discourse in chapter 8 about that. They don't understand what he's saying. Go over there, I'll show it to you. I'll show you something that you may have quoted all your life. You know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Once we find out what that means tonight. You want to find out what that means tonight? Servant shall not always abide in my house, but the son will abide. You want to know what that means? You follow me as the son, truth will set you free. John 8:13. The Pharisees therefore said unto him, "Thou bear record of thyself, and thy record is not true." That's just not the kind of thing you want to say to the Lord. Verse 14, he says, Jesus answered and said, "Though I bear record of myself, my record is true. For I know where I came and I know where I'm going. But you cannot tell where I come from and you can't tell where I'm going." Verse 20. These words spake Jesus in the treasury. He liked to teach in the treasury. He taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour had yet not come. You know how many times he escaped? I'm getting into this right now. I'm going to find out how he did what he did. That he always escaped. Every time they want to kill him, he passed through the crowds. I've found four or five times now. I'm going to go through the entire New Testament and find how he escaped. They never got him. I got caught, trampled. I'm like, I got to know how you do this. I said, when they come, I want to know how to not get trampled. I want to pass through the crowd. That might be real important in the future. I want to know how he did that, how he passed through. I want to know how you did that. I got to know how you pass. You know, I'll take the beating if I have to, but if I can, you know, if I can curtail the beating and pass through the crowd, I want to know that operation. If you did it, I can do it. I need to know how you did that, Lord. I want to pass through the crowd. Amen. Are y'all breathing? Chica, ba, ba, ba. What's that? I don't know. It just felt good, you know. Verse 21, then Jesus said to them, I go my way and you shall seek me. Now you got to meditate chapter 7 and 8. They hated him. They wanted to kill him. They were all kinds of stuff was going on. So these guys he was talking to were the leaders. They definitely didn't believe in him. He goes, I go my way and you shall seek me and shall die in your sins. Because whether I go, you cannot come. Man, that's hard. He knew they'd already rejected him, and he knew there was nothing else. He said, you're not going to be able to come to where I am. You rejected me. Then said the Jews, will he kill himself? Because he says, whither I go, you cannot come. And he said to them, you are from beneath, I am from above. You are of this world, I'm not of this world. And I said, therefore unto you, you shall die in your sins, for you believe not that I'm he, you will die in your state of sin. Now they didn't think they had any. Verse 30, you're going to understand this scripture, probably some of you for the first time in our lives here. He spake these words and many believed on him, and then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. Now in continuing his word, he wanted them to continue all and follow him through the cross. See, he kept talking about, I go my way. I'm going through the cross. If you'll follow me through there, you'll follow me in. But they were rejecting him. A lot of them were. He said, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. You know what he's talking about? He goes, I am the way, the truth, and the life. If you'll follow me, you've been a servant in my house. You've been my spokesperson for all these ages, for this whole dispensation. But everything shifts now. God is called the Son, and he's speaking through the Son. And he's setting a new covenant in the earth. He said, you're going to have to follow me in through the cross, because that's the way through. If you want to continue to be my spokesperson, if you want to continue to be a nation, you're going to have to come through the cross. You can't live in the shadow. You're going to have to come into the one who made the shadow. You're going to have to follow me on in. He already told the ones, you can't even follow me. You don't even have it in you to follow me. But the ones that believed on him, he says, keep believing all the way through. Go on through the cross, and you'll reemerge on the other side. To be my priest of the new covenant. Oh, shaka ba ba ba. Yeah, give the Lord a hand. Hallelujah. You continue my word, then are you my disciple? You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Because you're going to know me, the truth. They answered and said, we be Abraham's seed. We're never in bondage to any man. These are the guys that wanted to kill him. He said, how sayest thou, thou shalt be made free? You see the problem? They became very self-righteous. This particular group here, they didn't need freedom in their own mind. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I said, whosoever committeth sin, the word servant there is slave, you're the slave of sin. He goes, if the servant abideth not in the house forever, he goes, and the servant Let me say it like, verily I say to you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth. If the Son therefore you make you free, you shall be free indeed. He goes, listen, you are my nation. You have been speaking for me, and you foreshadowed my coming. But now I got to go through the cross, and you are in bondage just like the rest of the world. You've got to go through the cross too, because you inherit the same nature that everybody else inherited. And that nature cannot inherit my kingdom. He goes, you're still a slave to it. You've been a servant in my house. But if you'll follow me, I'll take you through the cross. You'll become a son. He said, a servant abideth not in the house forever. He goes, listen, this dispensation's coming to an end. The new one's coming, but if you'll go with me, he goes, the Son's going to abide forever. Now the Lord's speaking through an oath, through the Son. This is my beloved Son, hear you him. This is my beloved Son, hear you him. How many times did God say that this is my beloved Son? He's the one I'm talking through now. He is the new priesthood. He is the high priest called after the order of Melchizedek. Called outside of the line. Called out of the house of Judah, did not call him out of Aaron's lineage. He said, if you'll follow him, he goes, listen, you're a servant, but if you'll, he goes, you're not going to abide forever in this dispensation, but the Son's going to abide. So if you follow the Son, you'll know the truth. The truth will set you free. What? And they said, we don't need freedom. He said, oh yeah, you do. He goes, you got a nature that cannot inherit. I worked with you through the law of sacrifices to cover that sin. But now I come to do away with it. And I'm going to deliver you from that, and I'm going to set you at the right hand of the Father. Whew. Isn't that amazing? They couldn't hear him. And he finally had to tell them, look, you're your father, the devil. He's full of lies. You can't even hear what I'm saying to you. Your hour of visitation standing right in front of you, and you can't hear me. Where I go, you can't even come because you can't hear me. I came to deliver you to where I was with the Father for all eternity. I come out of his bosom, and I came for one express purpose, to bring you into his bosom. To bring you all the way in there with me. To give you a promise, land like no other. To abide where, in my glory that I have with him. I'm going to share it with you as a joint heir. And I give that place to you. God, who are we? The Son, therefore, shall make you free. You'll be free indeed. You're going to get so set free of that nature. You're going to have a right to access the right hand of the Father. You have a right to come into the very presence that your high priest could only come once a year. And that was in the earth. You'll be able to come into heaven itself. I'll be the forerunner that'll pass through the veil. You could follow me in there. You're probably not going to hear this kind of stuff in Bible school. It's a good night to come. Go to John 17. I think he says this. Well, let me just take you on through there real quick. Go to John 12. I'm going to say this real quick because I want to take you into 17. John 12, 23. I want you to understand this book so when you meditate it, you'll see where he's taking you. Where is he going? He's in the, going into the right hand of the Father. He's going to take you with him. He's already done that, by the way. Now all we got to do is apply the faith to go on up in there. That's why you're blessed with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places in the right hand of the Father. There's a lot of spiritual blessing in there. I don't know what all spiritual blessing means, but the stuff we've encountered of late has been pretty good. It's going to get a lot better. There's a revival in the right hand of the Father. John 12, verse 23, and Jesus answered them, saying, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. I am that single solitary corn of wheat, and I'm going to die. He goes, if you love his life, he that loveth his life will lose it. He that hateth his life in this world will keep it to life eternal. If any man will serve me, watch this. See how he's saying it? Let him follow me. That where I am, there shall my servant be also. He kept saying, you're going to have to follow me where I'm going. John 14, again. In my Father's house, there's many dwelling places. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go, and I'm going by way of the cross, I'm going to go into the belly of the earth, and I'm going to bear your sin to open a door for you to be with me where I am. He goes, if you think I'm something, he goes, you would rejoice because I'm going to the Father and he's greater than me. He goes, you think being with me, do you get this? He's telling them to rejoice. He says, you think these 3 years you've been walking around with me have been something? He goes, you need to rejoice because I'm fixing to put you with the one that I've been with for eternity. And even though I'm not with you in bodily presence, I'm going to give you such an unadulterated access to him. It'll make walking with me seem like darkness to where I'm going to put you with him at the right hand. Do you see that? That's why he told them. Why else would he tell them to rejoice? He's leaving them. He says, don't worry, I'm sending you the Holy Ghost. He's going to help you because you're going to need a lot of help. He's been helping us ever since. He's helped me a whole lot. I tell you, God, I've been so blind walking around. I didn't know where I was going. Where's your hunger taking you? Just to go lay on the floor somewhere and cry? Is that the epitome of hunger? Well, I'm going to go to the nations. Well, then what? You still got to come back. So while I stay there in the nation, you going to get a hut? Eat some chickens, lay some eggs for you every morning. You're still going to have to know your hunger's still going to be there. Your hunger is designed to get you somewhere. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. Thank God for his word. I go to the Father, and the Father's greater than I. I'm going to take you with me. Because you can't come right now because you don't have something to inherit, but I'm going to go my way, and I'm going to buy and purchase something for you, and I'm going to come back and get you. And when I'm doing, I'm going to breathe on you. When I breathe on you, you're going to be able to come and be with me. And not just with me, you're going to be with the Father too. And when you're with him, oh, you'll rejoice. He goes, for a moment, you're going to have a whole lot of sorrow, but your sorrow is going to be turned to great joy because I'm going to deliver you right into the right hand of the Father. And that's where you'll live. And you live in there long enough, you'll come back. And they did, and the revival just hit. Yeah, that's what I said. Go to John 16 real quick. Listen to this. We are going to have some kind of fun. You're dead. Your life is hidden with him. I told Anna, when I get out of prison, it takes a toll on my body. I'm so used to being, my body's energized with his life. And when I get kind of detached from him, all strength leaves my body. I'm like a dead man walking sometimes. I just walk around like, and I tell you, that session just rejuvenated me. I felt like I had vitamins running through my body. B12 shot. B12 shot. How about a right hand of the Father shot? Shink. It has lasted. The strength, it quickened your body. He said, I came to tell you, to teach you one thing in your wilderness. You don't live by bread alone. This earth will not sustain you where I'm taking you. You live by my life. You get to the place where your life, his life is your life. Shua. Y'all with me? Oh my God, I got to get there, Lord. All right, I'll just show this part. 16:19, and Jesus knew what they were desirous to ask him and said to them, do you inquire among yourselves of what I said a little while, and you shall not see me, and again a little while you shall see me? Verily I say unto you, you will weep and lament right now. You're going to weep just for a small season, but the world's going to rejoice because they don't know me. They don't know what I'm doing. You're going to weep because you're going to be detached from me for just a little while. But you'll be sorrowful, but your sorrow is going to be turned into joy. As a woman, she's in travail, has sorrow because her hour has come. But as soon as she's delivered of the child, she remembered no more the anguish for the joy of the man that's born into the world. You're going to go through some birth pangs. And you know, therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again. Your heart shall rejoice and no man shall take your joy from you. And I'm going to deliver you where I am. Woo! Booyah! Oh, look at this. Verse 27, for the Father himself loves you. Because you have loved me, I believe that I've come from God. I came forth from the Father. Verse 28, I come into the world and again I leave the world and I go to the Father. Pretty simple. Except time he's coming to take you with him. Y'all ready for 17 now? Shoo! These words spake Jesus. Lifted up his eyes. Verse 5, 17, and now, Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had before the world was. He wanted to be back. Oh, my God, he wanted back in there. He said, the hour's come, Father, I get to be with you again. But I've done your will, Father, I get to bring a whole race, a new breed of people to come in here and be with you with us. We did this thing, Father. And they're going to get to know the joy that I've had with you for all eternity at the right hand. The joy that I've had with you, they're going to get to come. And I'm going to share it with them as a joint heir. I'm going to share my place with them. I'm going to bring them right up into where I am. They're going to get to know it. That's 13, by the way. Verse 13. And now come I to thee, Father, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. You think that that's just some laughter being poured out on people? You think that's the last thing he was going to say? Oh, by the way, here, have a little joy. Ha, 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 ha. Ha, ha. You know, my joy that I've had with you for eternity that's inexpressible, Father. They're going to get to have that now. So I'm going to bring them to that place. Say, how do I get there? I'm telling you right now. This word right here is your compass. Your faith can grab it and go in there. Glorify me, Father, with the glory that I've had with thee, Father. He called it glory. He says this again now, verse 22. Stay with me because I'm going to attempt to close here. Oh, man, I am lost and undone. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them. What's that mean to you? What's glory mean to you? Oh, this atmosphere you gave me, I give to them. What does glory mean? He said it. Verse 5. The glory that I have with you to sit with you, I can't wait to come back. That doesn't appeal to us as much because we don't know how beautiful it is there until we get into the beauty and we lose our life in it and the earth pales and you don't even want to come back. Because of the beauty of that place, you lose your life into it. And said, the glory that I have with you, Father, I have given them. I share it now, Father. I'm going to go through the cross. I'm going to come back and get them. I'm going to save them. They're going to be born again, and I'm going to invite them to come and sit with us at the right hand. Is God awesome or what? We have an exceeding great inheritance. I'm going to put some Greek on you real quick before I close here. I'm going to go interlinear, outer linear, whoosh, weak, strongs. John 17, 22. And the glory. Now you know what his glory is, don't you? His glory was being at the right hand of the Father, being in the heart of the Father, bosom of the Father. He was in him. That was his glory. He only left it for you. All he wanted to do was go back. He said it probably 15 times. I go back to you, Father. I'm coming back. I go back to the Father. I'm going to finish his work, but I'm going back. We start hanging out there, you'll find you don't want to be anywhere else. What you can get in there, boy, you bring it back into the earth. My God. I don't know what all we're going to bring back. We're going to bring back a lot. And the glory thou gavest me, Father, I give to them. I give them my position with you. I give them this place in the right hand. That they may be one as we're one. You're going to be in oneness, union. I in them, thou in me, that they may be perfect in one. That's how he's going to do it. He just told them how he's going to do it right there. I in them, he's going to come in you. And that was what's going to give you your access to the Father. He gave them the mystery right there. I in them, thou in me, they may be perfect in one. The world may know that thou hast sent me, has loved them as thou loved me. Oh, this verse right here. That's where I'm going to get some Greek interlinear on you here. Father, I will, they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am. He's talking right hand of the Father. That they may behold my glory. Now this behold word is what the Holy Spirit, he centered me on today. I always said, behold, what's behold mean to you? I'm looking into his glory. I see your glory. I want to see your glory as Moses saw your glory. The glory he's talking about right here is a position. But what's this beholding talking? I want to behold his glory. I had to go interlinear, outerlinear, whoosh, weak, but really Strong's Concordance had it. Are you ready for this? Behold. That they may behold my glory that thou hast given me. They may behold that position. Here's what it means. Strong's word, 2, 3, 3, 4. Theorio was the name of the word. It means literally, figuratively, experience. That they may experience the place that I have with you. I will that they could come and experience. It also comes from a derivative of a word 2330, which is, excuse my Greek, thea omahe. I probably butchered that real good, but that's, you know what that means? Literally or figuratively, by extension, means to visit. To experience through visitation the place that I hold with you, Father. I'm glad to come and experience through visitation. I'm going to make the way for them to come and sit down with you, Father, at the right hand, the way I've sat with you for eternity past. That is the gospel. Give the Lord a hand. Hallelujah. Huh? That was when they went into the heavenlies on Tuesday. That was the very scripture they were quoting. Isn't that awesome? Now watch this. Are you ready for this? Oh, my God. I found this one today, too. Come forth, John chapter 20. I love this. Woo! If you'll take this and meditate it, it'll become a bit, he'll forge his will in you. And it'll become like an image, a picture, and your faith will grab his will. And it'll start ascending into the right hand. That's how you travel in the Spirit. You move in the Spirit by faith and through his word. Don't be going through your emotion. You'll get caught up in the wrong heaven. You'll be in the second heaven. Nice principality as an angel. Light will come there. Bronze hair, blue eyes. Say, welcome. We've been waiting on you. Have a jewel. Have some dust. Oh, sorry. Would you like to see a bleeding statue today? Don't think that they can't orchestrate lying signs and wonders. Pharaoh threw his staff down, turned into a snake. I was done by a power. Those operate in the second heaven. They come as angels of light. That's what problems sometime in certain prophetic camps. They don't go in by the word. They go in by experience. And because of discernment's lacking, they start engaging the second heaven. They don't know you're always protected when you go through promise. When you go through the word, you'll always be protected because the Holy Spirit will take you where you need to be. He wants you to be in the heavenly places. That's where you're going to become effective in the earth. We're not going to be effective if we keep doing things the ways of carnality. That's why the church doesn't get anywhere. They just make it look better. Every year someone else emerges on the scene with a new book and it makes it look a whole lot better. But the world's not impressed. They never will be impressed till the true demonstration and the true glory of that place comes into the earth and the true presence of habitation drops in. The honey kabod glory drops in and puts them on their face. And they're going to go, what is in this place? They're going to have an encounter with the living God. That's not coming outside of us going to where it is. That's the way he designed it. Y'all ready for this? John 20:17. Now Jesus, he's ascended now. This is after the crucifixion. Mary's hanging around. You know, they're all crying. They're all upset. He told them, you're going to have sorrow for a little while. He goes, don't worry. Whatever I'm going to deliver you, your joy is going to be made full. Watch this. Get this. John 20:17. Jesus said unto her, touch me not. I'm not yet ascended to my Father. Look what he tells her. The first thing he speaks coming out of the grave. But go tell my brethren and say to them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father now. He's your Father. To my God and your God. I did it. I put you in. Tell him he's now your Father and you are welcome into the right hand now. Yeah, let's give him a hand. You want one more? Acts 1:3. Showed himself alive for 40 days through many infallible proofs. He visited him for 40 days straight. Why? He was the promise. He was the rest. Acts 1. He visited him for 40 days. Why? Because he was the promise. He said, come and taste of your true promised land. Because the first 12 that went in the Old Testament, they failed. Except for two. I'm going to give you another 40-day trip. And he came in and visited him for 40 days, Acts 1:3, with many infallible proofs. He visited him with the true promise. He was the promise. And while he was talking to them, he got caught up. He came down, up and down a whole lot in 40 days. He did a whole lot of that. You think they were not full of joy? They got sucked up. Now, I want you to see this, Acts 1. 40 days, there were 12. They went into the promised land. There were supposed to be 12 to behold this promised land, which was the risen Christ. One of them failed, but God's designed that there were supposed to be 12, and he visited them for 40 days. Guess how many of the 12 went into the under the old? They went in 40 days to look at the promised land. He visited them for 40 days straight. Isn't that a booyah? Acts 1. Verse 2, until the day which he was taken up after he through the Holy Ghost had given until the day which he was taken up. So there he ascended, but then he descended again through the Holy Ghost, given commandment unto the apostles to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion. He goes, I am the promised land. Come and look at me for 40 days.
by many infallible proofs being seen of them 40 days, speaking of things pertaining the kingdom. Come and have your 40-day trip like the original 12 got. Isn't that awesome? The 120 in the upper room took the place of one of the disciples. So 131 of them got to behold him 40 days. Is that awesome? Now watch this. I'm closing. Ready for this? He's telling them stuff. Verse 8, you shall receive power of the Holy Ghost. Come upon you, be witness unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and uttermost parts of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up. Oh, man, he did a lot of that. He's probably going to do a whole lot more of that now. There's going to be coming visitation of the Lord himself. He has the right to do this. Up and down, up and down. He did it for 40 days. He did it with him. Watch this. Watch what the angel said. I'm really curious what the angels told him. And while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. He got sucked up into a cloud while he's talking to them. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, they're looking, oh my God, he went up. Behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. You might as well get used to angels hanging around this kind of stuff, because this is what they like. Which he also said, you men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go. Better get used to this, boys. Because heaven is coming into the earth. Don't marvel you seem sucked up, because there's going to be a whole lot of this going on. Because revival's coming to the earth. Heaven's coming down. Woo! That's what those angels would tell them. Hey, don't marvel. You're going to see a lot of this. Get used to it. Get over it. It's going to happen. The heavens have been opened. And the merge is complete. God's coming down and you're going up. And I'm done. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Woo. I'm ready to get raptured. Oh, shoo. Carson's gone. I'm gone. Chong. I was standing here the other day. I wanted to pray for somebody. And Tim, he's normally very attentive to me. Bring that basket up here, Chris, while I talk about Tim. I'm going to pray for somebody. I need somebody because I got the anointing on me. It was Chuck that I was going to pray for. Something hit me. And Tim was standing there. I said, Tim. I said three times, Chuck. Because I have Chuck ready to go for prayer. You know, I said, come here. I got something on me. I said, Tim. He's standing right here. I said, Tim. He's like this. I mean, he's facing that way. He's going like this. I said, Tim. Well, he told me he's dancing with an angel. And he doesn't do that. He said, man, I don't know. He goes, I said, we were calling you. He goes, man, I was caught up. I was with an angel in heaven. I was dancing with an angel up there. This happened a couple weeks ago. Remember when I got slain on the floor and the spirit got hit me? A lot of good he was, dancing with an angel. I fell out. Praise God forever. Chuck fell out. There's going to be a lot of that. Don't. When you're in the Word, you're protected. The Holy Ghost is with it. He's going to protect you from the silliness. We're going by the Word, and the Word is our boundary and our covering. And he'll always deliver you right in the right place. You don't have to be worrying about dropping off in the second heaven. God's plane doesn't visit the second heaven. He goes right up through it. Drops you right in the third. All the encounters, the experiences will be divinely orchestrated by God. We're not moving out of the soul. We're moving out of the Word of the living God. Amen.